I have found over the years, if you make things so hassle-free for the investor and have that onboarding experience so smooth and hassle-free, not only refer their friends, but they're going to keep coming back because they know that it's easy to invest with you.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Welcome to my great friend, as I smack the mic, Shelly Peterson, to the show. Shelly, it's an honor to have you on.
Well, the honor is all mine. I'm just tickled pink just to be here with you, Sean.
As always, we forgot to hit record too early and we already had some golden nuggets drop, but we'll bring some more, we promise. Shelly, why don't you give the listeners just a quick background on yourself, who you are, you know, what you've done, and who is Kahuna Investments and what are you guys doing today?
Yeah, who's Mama Kahuna, aka VP of Fund? That is me. Thank you again for having me, Sean. Listen, yeah, so I grew up in the heartland of the US, Tulsa, Oklahoma. I grew up in an Asian household. My mom is Filipino. For all your Asian listeners out there, they understand that completely. I told Sean earlier, I said, I grew up po, not poor, but po.
Couldn't afford
so
the R.
I couldn't afford the R. I showed Sean a picture of the house that I grew up in. But man, can you see that for all your audience out there? That yellow and brown house, I was just there last week in Tulsa, Oklahoma, visiting my folks. And let's just go back to my childhood neighborhood. And we drove through there. And I told my dad said, well, it wasn't as bad when we first moved out there. And I said, Dad, I think it was bad then as it is now. So when you see things boarded up and you see fights in the middle of the street and you see those shoes hanging on, the telephone lines, that was my neighborhood, Sean. That was my neighborhood. So naturally, Mama Lucy would say, you know, when you grow up, I want you to go to college and you get a good job so that way you can make money and depend on nobody. So that was the mindset of my Asian household mother. My mom would make my sister and I go to school. We worked hard. We got a college degree. I got my degree in dietetics. I am the worst dietitian you'll ever meet. From there, I went into a pharmaceutical industry. So that's my background. I'm in the pharmaceutical industry. So I actually came into real estate kicking and screaming. I retired from the industry in 2016 as Corey was building our multifamily portfolio, and I wanted nothing to do with real estate. I didn't know what an NOI to an LOI to a PSA meant. I had no idea, nor did I care. And then over time, I started to understand this wonderful game of multifamily real estate. But more importantly, I understood what passive investing means and how life-changing it is for the all-American family or people that are struggling, living day to day, paycheck to paycheck, whether you're a passive investor or perhaps maybe you're on this call looking to know how what we did, how did we acquire $250 million of multifamily portfolio that's worth $250 million. I mean, I pinch myself every day. I wake up and I said, man, Sean, if I died tomorrow, I want to come back as Shelly Peterson. That's how great my life is.
Hey, that's success right there. If you feel that way, that's for sure.
Oh man, I tell you what a crazy ride. And I feel like I'm very passionate in I talk to a lot of women about this because I feel like it wasn't very long ago, a little over 10 years ago when Corey and I made the gut-wrenching decision for him to do real estate full-time. I was holding down the fort, but there was a time where we couldn't afford our electric bill. It was like, you either pay the electricity or do we buy for food? And at that time, my kids were small. And when we started getting into the game of real estate and we started having these little wins, now we're trying to get caught up with all of the massive debt that we acquired when I lost my job and when Corey lost his job, right? So that was a really tough time. And we made the decision to move out of our big house, move in with my sister. And for 8 months, we just started just nailing down debt, just no personal debt, paid off all the cars, the credit cards. And I told myself I'd never want to be in that position again. And I think there's a lot of families that are out there. And for those that are in your audience listening, I think this is one of the big reasons why they do what they're doing. They want to build a passive investment portfolio so that way they can have the freedom to do what they want with whenever they want and with whoever they want. And for me and for our family, that was a very real feeling. We wanted to make sure that we were never in that position again. And thank God for real estate because it has been a game changer in our household. And I will tell you that Corey and I are both very passionate about what we preach and we want to save one family at a time. So that's my story, Sean. What else do you want to know?
That's a powerful story. The rags, the semi-riches, to the rags again, to the riches, right? And life's a roller coaster. I feel you know, kind of main ingredients to be successful is that persistence and that attitude of not giving up. And I feel like both you and Corey are those type of people, those mavericks, right? as your assessment would say. And for listeners, if you're not familiar, her husband's Corey Peterson. He's the big kahuna, the founder and CEO of Kahuna Investments. He's been on the show, my mentor, along with Shelly. He's my mentor too.
Oh, thanks, Sean.
And yeah, they're amazing people that they really are out there to help others. They're not just saying that to sell something. They're really out there to help people. And they do. They give their time, they give their money, they give their knowledge, and it can change your life. And it's changed mine, and it'll continue to change. And I think anything in life, you just need to seek out the right people. And I think there's not just one person that's right for everybody, right? You got to align.
Right.
Morals got to align. Your goals got to align. So luckily that happened with us. And that's what you got to look for. So Shelly, let's get into this. What is your current role at Kahuna?
So my current role is investor relations. I love talking to passive investors. And for those that are listening, there's a wrong way and a right way to talk to passive investors. You want to really date these guys. They really need to get to know one another. I always say when someone comes into on my calendar, the first thing that comes out of my mouth is like, let's get to know one another. They know if you're genuine or not. And so it's funny because Corey's like, this is the best role for Shelly because there's not a friend that I've never met, right? And I genuinely just love people and I want to get to know them. And so I typically, what I do is I just walk them through our processes here at Kahuna Investments, ask any questions. The whole goal for me is to get to know them, see what their investing strategy is. Have they ever invested in real estate before, let alone a syndication? Do they know some of this, the terminology that we use in this space? So my role is pretty simple. I actually have the fun role, Sean. I always say I have the fun part, but the whole goal. So if you're doing a 506B offering as a boy, your goal at this first call is to get what? That's one thing, because we are regulated by the SEC, and that is the investor questionnaire. So I always start out with a call with, hey, the purpose of this call is to get to know one another. We are regulated by the SEC. I'm going to ask you to fill out this investor questionnaire at the end of this conversation. But you want to find out, like, what brings you in? What are you looking for? What is their investment strategy? Are they an active investor or a passive investor? There's different ways that you can talk to the investor, figure out what their hot buttons are. A lot of times, these folks that are coming in, and just so your audience knows, if they say, well, how do you attract the passive investors? Is that probably something that your audience would like to know? How do you attract the passive investor?
Yeah.
How do you get into that funnel? Absolutely. So the best way that I can explain that is like you want to have a lot of fishing poles and a lot of ponds, right? And so we always talk about, do you want to fish in the real estate pond? No, you don't. It's the wrong avatar. You want to fish in the correct ponds. And that is your busy working professionals. These are your doctors, dentists, lawyers, chiropractics. Business owners have been a really good avatar for us. These are business owners that have maybe 25 employees. Their business is doing really well, but they have a tax problem. They're making too much money and Uncle Sam has taken the majority of it. Those guys are great to talk to. So make sure you're fishing in the right pond. And then also, how are you nurturing these passive investors to keep them engaged? Are you doing emails? Are you doing direct mail? Are you doing phone calls? So what we like to do internally at Kahuna Investments, if we just meet somebody for the first time, we try to at least get their email address. And if you don't have an email campaign, a nurture campaign to talk about who you are, why do you invest in real estate? I can give you an example. One of our emails says, are all your eggs in one basket? Do you want to diversify your portfolio? So you want to start getting in the conversations of, what is your game plan for retirement? How do the rich retire? What are they doing? What strategies are they adopting to further their legacy and their wealth? And we want to teach regular middle-class American people like me that grew up Poe, without the R, Poe, how do we teach these folks on how to invest wisely? And so from there, Sean, do you have any questions? I'll stop if you're tracking with me as far as the email nurture and how we're doing.
Yeah, that's all great. But I think it's good to highlight on one of the earlier things you mentioned is get to know the investor and what they're looking for. Because at the end of the day, not everyone is going to be looking for what you're offering. And there's no sense of trying to force it down, for lack of a better term, down their throat, right? Some are looking for cash flow and not appreciation. And some are vice versa, where they want the appreciation, they could care less about the cash flow. And it's important to know what they're looking for, because everyone offers something different and good to know.
That's right. I always look at it as like Chick-fil-A. There's a lot of sauces you can pick from Chick-fil-A, ketchup, Chick-fil-A sauce, barbecue. Not everybody wants the same sauce, right? And so I think it's up to folks in my role, if you're working with investor relations or if you're working as just trying to attract more capital, you have to really drill down what people really truly want, right? So what is it that they're looking for? And sometimes I get a little bit impatient. So I get calls come through and I'm like, what do you want? What can I help you with? How can you help these people, right? So you're always trying to figure out, what is it that you want? And a lot of times they may have capital now and they're just looking to place their capital. And if we don't have a deal for them, can I refer them to someone else that maybe has a deal for them to do a referral? Like, hey, this is a 506B. You got to be careful with it. You can do referrals. So you want to make sure that if they're a friend, you can refer them. We're friends, Sean. So I can refer one of my investors that have been investing with us and he's got capital and he's a place. Hey, I know my good buddy, Sean. He may have a deal that you might be interested in, right? So it depends on where that investor is on. We always call this like this continuum of where their mindset is. And I used to do this a lot when I was in the pharmaceutical industry with doctors, because with doctors, you had to produce a certain message that would resonate, and then you'd have to move them along the prescribing continuum habits. I kind of adopt that the same way with the passive investor to see where they are in their mindset. They may not be ready to invest. Maybe they just want to know a little bit more what you do. And so you have to keep giving them information. It's a nice balancing game of dating that investor. You're not asking them to get married. You're just still dating them and you're just giving them the information that they need so they can make a proper decision. And I think so often in this space, we get so excited. We're like, oh, we got a passive investor. He's got $300,000. Pick my deal, pick my deal. I don't ever chase money. I don't ever ask for it because I'm still vetting you as well as you're vetting us. And I think people can pick up on that. If you know that they have a lot of money and you're chasing them down, it's a little off-putting. So you don't ever want to put yourself in that position. You just want to come across as you're helpful, you're resourceful. And when they ask questions, I have a 24-hour rule. I answer questions immediately. Within, they have a very basic questions. I'm texting them back within the hour, right? If I have to send them information, I try to get them back as soon as possible. If it's more than 24 hours, I think you've done yourself a disservice. So you want to make sure you get information back very quickly to investors to answer their questions. Agreed.
Hit on, you mentioned essentially not being desperate, right? And not fighting over investors. I think that a good point to highlight is your type of offering too. You're not out there trying to get the 20% IRR, the 18+% average annual return, 80-20 split, giving up the farm like everyone else is to try to win over LPs, passive investors. You're giving a solid, a very good return relative to other investments with reduced risk, right? People have to look at this as like risk-adjusted return. When I see those deals that have like 20% IRR, I just think risk. And what's the risk associated to get that type of return? And especially if it's not an operator that's been in business for decades, I don't want anything to do with that.
Well, and Sean, to your point, you bring up a very good point. When you start talking waterfalls and IRR to the average American that has their money in the stock market, they have no idea what the heck you're talking about. When you talk about securities exchange commissions, 506B, 506C. So if you are using that jargon with the regular passive investor, you have to dumb it down to where you're talking to a five-year-old. I like simple math. I show them the calculations and I show them that it is a fixed preferred rate of return. I can do basic math, but when you start giving me waterfalls and IRR, and a confused mind says what? It says no. Right? So we all know that. So when I'm talking to the investors, my conversation may sound a little bit something like this. It's like, there's five reasons why people want to invest. Is it tax benefits? Is it diversification of your portfolio? Right? Do you have a proven track record? So I'm always trying to figure out, do you want cash flow? Do you like mailbox money? And then you figure out like, what is their hot button? So if the more simple you can have your conversations with these folks, and now when I say with these folks, it's the right avatar. Now, when you're talking to institutional money, small family office, real estate guys like me and you, Sean, right? That's a different conversation. Guess what they're always going to want to have? They're going to want to have
part of the deal.
You work too hard to get your deals, right? So we want to make sure that for your listeners that are doing this business, how do you keep the majority of your deal and not give away, like you said earlier, give away the farm, right? And so the way that we structure it here at Kahuna, Corey calls it, I'm telling you, we need to coin this, Sean, the six and six method, right? So we do a 6% pref on the front end, which gets paid out quarterly. And then we do a 6% pref on the back end that gets annualized year over year. Now that's basic math. So if you say, yeah, your total rate of return is 12% total. Now, what would that look like for your audience that are doing this game when they put that in their underwriting? That's a lot of money in their back pocket, yeah. Right?
12% is a solid return. They say on the stock market, you're going to get 6 to 8. And that's probably being generous on right. The 8 part. So 12 is a great return.
12% is a solid, consistent rate of return is what I like to say. It's a solid, consistent rate of return. And with the stock market, with all the ebbs and flows and the dips, Sean, you have the same financial background as Corey, you lose that time factor. So it doesn't even sometimes equate to 6 to 8%. Anyway, there's a wonderful chart. I forget who put this out here one year, but if you were to take $100,000, maybe it was you, Sean.
Yeah, I'll send it over to you if you need it again.
That was great. I need that chart. I'm going to put that in my cred kit because that's such a powerful tool. But I think for those that are listening, they completely understand that model and it's very simple. And we have had no problems with our investor pool. They're like, that's great. Because why? They like right. The consistency. They like the mailbox money comes in on time. They like that they know what they're going to get at the end of the day. They don't have to guess because it's a fixed rate of return.
Shelley, if you're investing in the stock market, it's all about timing when it comes to the stock market. It's not like you're offering a preferred return that they're getting paid that return before anyone else does, right? And so, whereas the stock market, it could just be poor timing. You could decide to retire this year, Shelley, and say the market drops 20%. You're probably going to have to change plans unless you have a very large retirement
account.
And that's where it gets scary, where the chart you're alluding to, it shows how volatility erodes your bank account or your portfolio. You might average the same percentage annual return. It might both average, say, 10%. The one with volatility actually, it gets into math and I won't get into it on the show. But if you look at geometric average, that takes into account the volatility and you actually end up with less money in your account. So
absolutely. You're right. And then tack on all the fees associated with moving the money. Corey and I were talking about, he's like, when you have your money in the stock market, it's kind of like the Tootsie Roll. How many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll pop? It's the same concept. It's like, how many hands does it have to go through to actually know, like, who has a hold of your money? Where is it going?
Yeah.
So I'm like, that would be a great episode, Corey. That sounds like fun. So for my role, I enjoy talking to the past investors. I enjoy getting to know what floats their boat. How can I help them? And then from there, when we do have a deal, and then so when we talk about the onboarding, how many of your listeners, like, shall I have $100,000? And I like this deal that you guys put out. I'm ready to invest, right? And so that conversation is very simple. We use an investor portal to onboard all of our investors. But I have found over the years, if you make things so hassle-free for the investor, and have that onboarding experience so smooth and hassle-free, not only refer their friends, but they're going to keep coming back because they know that it's easy to invest with you. So remember, make it easy to invest with you. And if you have to pre-fill out their paperwork where you have to do it as a DocuSign now, I don't recommend that. If you're using a portal, then you have to upload the documents into the portal. But for some of these our investors that are older and that are not tech savvy, I'll do that for them. I'll gather all their information. I'll send it to DocuSign where they can just sign it. Or if you have them really adverse to technology, if you have to mail it, you do whatever it takes to help that investor feel comfortable, right? We do a lot of Zoom calls with them. We produce videos. We try to automate everything that we possibly can to make it easy for investors. But sometimes there are those that just there for whatever reason, they just don't do tech and that's okay. So from there, once you help them fill out their paperwork, now, if it's a self-directed IRA, I would highly recommend that you work with someone local in your backyard that you have a great relationship with. We use Directed IRA that's local here in Arizona. And we know Matt, the CEO, and we know his team and they know Kahuna. So when we onboard an investor that has a self-directed IRA, it is so seamless, Sean. It is so smooth. All I have to do is say, hey, you're working with Heidi. She's great. And then they fill out their paperwork for the investor. Like they do everything for them. If they have a transfer, because sometimes if their account is like with a Fidelity, we all know that these directed IRA companies, these self-directed IRA companies, they have a hard time just trying to get their money into the account, the self-directed IRA account. And so you want to work with someone that has a really good track record, that has the team. and that you have a good relationship with. I've worked with many self-directed IRA companies out there. And let me tell you, there's a big difference, Sean. I won't say who the naughty ones are, but there are some that we call them PITAs. Do you know what a PITA stand for? P-I-T-A, pain in the ass.
Yeah, I got it.
There are some PITA self-directed IRA companies out there. You know who you are.
And some expensive ones too.
And there's some expensive ones too. So the bottom line is you want to make sure that, because some of these investors, when they have, this might be a new process for them. So the more you can walk them through that process and help them with their paperwork. And so what I mean by paperwork, you fill out the direct to invest form. If your audience don't know what a direct to invest form, they're like, what is that? You go on their website, pull it up, and then you fill that out for them. I mean, little things like that, that makes a big difference, goes a long way with your investor. So once you onboard them properly, we're always in communications. You want to make sure that you're sending out some sort of financial reporting. Now, I will tell you, in our financial reporting that our investors get every month, guess what we show them, Sean? We show them the bank statements. We have nothing to hide. And so when you're talking to passive investors and they're out there vetting other syndicators like yourself, these are some of the questions that you can ask them, like, do they have a track record or do they show the bank statements in their financial reporting? Here's what we have. You want to show the differences that you have to offer in your company versus those that are out there. Now, don't ever badmouth anybody in our industry, by the way. Don't ever, ever do it. I've seen a lot of syndicators, and I'm not going to say names, but I had one lady that I ran into and she badmouthed a good buddy of ours. And that really just put a bad taste in my mouth. And like I said, this is a small industry and every operator is different. They have their X value or however they do it. But I will say this is a small industry and we're all here to help one another. We have an abundance mentality. We want to make sure that everybody's rises everybody's boat. Let's help one another out in this industry because it's one app, one bad apple can ruin a lot of us.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, yeah. See, I went on a tangent, Sean. I'm taking your audience on a roller coaster ride themselves.
I know. I love it. No, but that's a good point too because it's such a small industry. And that also goes to the point of, we should act above board anyways, but if you don't, you're going to get sniffed out real quick and word will travel. Yeah. And that's why it's, we were talking about this earlier, Shelly, just people are still offering crazy money for deals right now. And to that point, if you're just doing it to get in the game because you got FOMO or you're just really desperate to get some type of fee or something, that could really hurt you in the long run and you could lose people money. And then again, it's a small industry, that word's going to get out and it's going to make super hard for you.
Yeah. So I think I really do believe there's going to be some opportunities coming our way.
That too.
And we're going to start seeing, Corey always says, loosening up. We're not going to see these crazy cap rates and these ridiculous offers because they're not penciling right now. I mean, we were talking earlier, we had a buddy of ours that is a 70s built property. And I forget what the cap rate on that deal was, but I'm like, you can probably get a newer build for that cap rate. Like, why would you want to buy this property that's a 70s build when you could probably get the same for a newer property? So it's just nuts. So I think we have a responsibility to make sure that we are giving fair offers, maintaining those relationships with brokers, and then really fostering your relationships with the investors. And then thirdly, making sure that the properties that you do have, you operate the heck out of them and you are really paying very close attention to your portfolio. I'm going to share a little nugget. So once we have their paperwork filled out and we receive the money, we do a confirmation email. A lot of this stuff is automated, but we give them a kahuna box. Once we accept them in the deal, we have a really cool kahuna box with their PPM signature pages. We have some swag, a handwritten thank you note, but it's just a nice little box that the investor receives within a week to say, hey, welcome to the deal, right? So you welcome them to the deal. We get excited about it. We're so excited that you're a part of this deal. You are partners with us in this deal. And I think a lot of the investors that we work with, they all know that they need real estate in their portfolio, but they don't have the bandwidth to learn what you and I do, right? I mean, let's face it, for those that are in this space, it's like getting a doctorate's degree. And learning this game. You don't have like an engineer or a doctor says, oh, I'm going to do multifamily investing overnight. Their brains would explode the amount of information and all the moving pieces that it takes to acquire these deals and to get these deals done. They are happy just to be a part of the process and say, hey, I'm a silent partner in this deal with Sean or with Corey. And check out this $40 million asset we own together. It's fantastic, right? So when we talk about A shares and B shares and how we structure our deals, I always say, hey, you are just as important Actually, I think it's great to be an LP in a deal, all right? Just the silent partner. I love it. They get paid before we do, man. So I always tell them, like, you're a priority investor. You get paid before we do. It is not a bad place to be in. In your underwriting, you know that
all the time.
We have enough in the underwriting to make sure that the LP always stays whole, right? Wait, they always, anything can go awry in a deal, pandemic, right? So anything crazy can happen.
Yeah.
But being a limited partner in a deal is not a bad place to be. And so it's all how you tell the investor in your delivery. I get excited talking about being a part of a deal, being a silent partner, but still get the tax benefits as a piece and getting first dibs out of the cash flow bucket, getting that mailbox money. They get excited about that. So that is just kind of a little bit what we do. And I'm always welcome. If anybody wants to jump on a call with me, they're more than welcome to see how I walk them through our process. If anybody that's new in this game, they're like, oh, I don't have a credibility kit, I can point you into the right direction.
What is a credibility kit?
A credibility kit is your track record, who you are as a company. I could share my screen and show you, but basically it's like your report card. It tells you what your buy box is, like what do you buy, how long you've been around. It shows you your team. It shows your portfolio. It shows how do you structure your deals, right? So I typically start off the call with who we are. Cahoon Investment's been around since 2005. This is what we buy. This is how much we have. Here's our active properties. Here's our core values. If you don't have core values in your company, I would highly recommend that you reflect and figure out who you want to be. We talk about operations, how we find, fund, and operate deals, right? So it's very important when you're walking the passive investor through what you do, you want to be very thorough in your messaging. I always say, how do you deliver an impactful message where it resonates with those folks? So I always say there's five reasons why people would want to invest in a multifamily deal. Diversification, tax benefits, mailbox money, leaving a legacy, track record, right? So those are the five reasons when I show people, these are the five reasons why people want to invest with our group. And whatever your reasons are, what is your, I guess, your X factor in your company? You want to showcase that. What have you done? Now, if you don't have a credibility kit, guess what you can do? Tell them, Sean, what can they do?
They can go to Corey and Shelley.
Yeah. Well, they can go to you. They can borrow someone else's credibility, partner with people.
Yeah. And I talk about that. You partner with people who have a track record. And so you can leverage their background until you develop your own background and track record.
And absolutely.
That's the smart way to do it instead of going out there and without a track record and trying to make it happen. You're going against stream on that one.
Well, and I think especially if you're dealing with brokers, they sniff out the newbies so quick.
They know.
So if you have someone that you could partner with that has a track record, that would be fantastic because it would just propel your business so much further and get you to point A to B a lot quicker, right? So
Agreed.
In our credibility kit, I even talk about what to expect when you invest with us. And I show them the onboarding process. Step one, you get access to the portal. Step two, decide how you want to invest. Step three. So you have to really break all those little pieces down because you have to remember these folks that we are attracting, they have no idea of what it means to invest in real estate because it's not their background.
Yeah.
If you are fishing in the right pond, you really have to take it very elementary with these folks, right? So the more information.
They're used to automatic withdrawals into their 401k, right? Or automatic contributions into it, or their financial advisor doing everything.
Yes.
So you definitely have to walk them through it the first one, two, maybe three times.
Yeah. But if you make that process so simple for them, I tell you what, you will get raving fans. And it's so funny because I get the question all the time, like, what do you mean you guys only do it this way? It's a preferred rate of return on the front and the back end. What about your waterfall structure? And I'm like, I don't have to have those conversations because the people that we talk to, they don't understand that anyway, and nor do they care to. So I find that people are more attracted to, if they're a business owner, the tax advantages is really appealing to that avatar. If it's a busy working professional, like a doctor, they just want passive income so that way they could cut back on their time at the practice, right? Yeah. So you got to figure out what floats their boat, like what's going to motivate these guys, right? And you never know until you do a little bit digging and you have to spend a little bit of time and to nurture and to understand the passive investor mindset. Okay. So what else, Sean? What other nuggets have I not shared yet? I know I have them. You got to dig them out. You got to dig them out of me, man.
I got to sift them like I'm sifting for some gold nuggets, right? Shelly, it's been a great episode so far. I'm trying to think here. You guys are really good at retaining investors. Maybe it's everything you've already talked about, but is there any secret sauce how you retain investors, how you create those raving fans? Obviously, you said making it just seamless and simple, but is there anything else?
I think it's just developing a personal relationship. We talk about this a lot. We like to give our investors experiences. So for those that know Corey Peterson, the guy likes to motorcycle and he likes to go jeeping. And so we have investors that are in town. We do an investor, hey, let's do a Jeep excursion. So we've taken out so many of our investor friends and show them wonderful experiences. If we're in their neck of the woods, we call them up, hey, let's go do dinner. We have one investor that we do breakfast at Denny's every quarter. Denny's.
I love it. People like what they like.
It's just the little things that matter, you guys. And so, I mean, I'm not a big Denny's fan, but they love Denny's and now it's kind of our thing. So I think the bottom line is you got to just love on them, nurture them, and you definitely want to check in on them. When I say check in on them, don't check in on them to ask for a referral or say, hey, we have another deal. But check in on them to see how they're genuinely doing. If they have a death in the family or if there's a big milestone, you want to make sure that you're a part of that, right? And so, you know, we just found out that one of our investors' husband just passed away. Well, guess what? We're sending flowers. We're just letting know the Kahuna family's thinking of you. It's those little things that mean so much. They really do matter. And if you're not incorporating that in your business model, then you're really missing out because the deeper you can go with these relationships, not only is it just more rewarding, because I always say we do this to without expectations, right? You want to build these relationships. If they don't ever do another deal with us, it's fine. But we still want to be friends. We still want to love on you and be a part of your lives. And we want to break bread with you when we can. And so the deeper you can build these relationships with folks, it goes a long way. So I truly do believe that.
Hey, I think that's a mic drop right there. That's a good one. But before we let you go, Shelly, where can people find Mama Kahuna and Kahuna Investments?
Mama Kahuna on Instagram. The best way is just to, can I give them a book? Can I give them a free book, Sean?
Yeah.
Get to know us more.
What do you want us to put a link in the show notes?
Yeah, you can just type the word book to 480-500-1127. And you can visit us that way if you need help with anything.
What's the book? I think it's over your shoulder there.
Yeah.
You got another one too? There we go.
Copy Your Way to Success. It's just a hero's journey. It's a great book.
It's right next to the Louis on the shelf there.
Hey, listen, don't judge me, man. I love my Louis Vuittons.
I think
I'm in Hawaii. It's cheaper.
Is that the pineapple I got you on the shelf above?
It sure is.
It's a pretty one.
Yes, the crystal one. It's so pretty. It's like a diamond, shiny, shiny and bright in my office,
Shelly.
Sean. Just like me, just like me. Sean, I appreciate you so much, my friend. Thank you so much for having me on your show. It's been a blast. And hopefully
I appreciate you.
I gave some good nuggets to your audience. We're here to help any way we can.
I know you guys are, and you definitely gave nuggets. So thank
you.
Awesome.
All right, my friend.
All right, Shelly, and listeners, as always, easy doesn't pay well and instant gratification is self-destructive. So not only get out there and work hard for your money, but have it work hard for you so we can all create the lives of our dreams and make this world a better place. All right, catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.